Let us pray. Holy Spirit, descend upon us now, that our hearts might be lifted up to heaven, and we might see the face of the grown Christ child, Jesus of Nazareth, the one circumcised for us. And so, Lord, in this moment, come upon us that our uncircumcised hearts might be circumcised and resurrected to new life as we gaze upon Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be alway acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want you to imagine with me this morning the last line of our passage about how Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day and his name given was Jesus. Imagine that moment. Mary stands back from the huddle of men, back but not too far back, for she must see baby Yeshi's face. Her mother's heart is full to overflowing with pride and yet also a motherly fear. For today, Yeshi must enter into the covenant of Father Abraham, the oath swearing of Father Abraham, over 2 millennia old. Fear with the pride, for even in this moment, a crimson line must be cut in the tiny fold of the child's phallus. Mary watches now as Joseph brings forward Yeshua, little Jesus, brings him forward to the chants of all gathered, Baruch Haba, Baruch Haba, blessed is he who comes. And then Joseph, placing little Jesus on his own father's lap, the old man smiling and winking the whole time, Mary watching now as the Mohel comes forward, the thin, reedy man, the circumciser, carrying the Roman-made blade, curved, sharp, the Mohel man, the one with the scrabble of red beard on his parched face. Jesus, Yeshi, begins to gurgle, coo as his father, Joseph, and his uncle hold down his small limbs on his grandfather's lap. And now the Mohel begins to intone the ceremony in that high, reedy voice. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord God, maker of the universe. He continues in that thin, high, reedy voice. Asher kidshenu b'mitzvotah v'tzavanu al ha-milah. Who sanctifieth us through thy commandments and commandeth us concerning circumcision. And the Mohel now stands above the naked little boy, holding the curved knife and then the flash of the blade. And Mary's heart is pierced in this moment, a sharp pain. Is it a premonition? A moment of sorrow in all of this happiness? Yeshi's face scrunches up, sucking and gulping in air, and then letting out that bellowing calf cry, he drowns out Joseph's recitation in the ritual. Have they not all seen it? Mary is concerned, her heart pierced as with a Roman sword. Do they not see something is wrong here? Do they not feel it, that a Roman blade has pierced her son? What did she see in that moment when the Mohel's knife came down? Was there a shadow? The flash of a cross-section of hammered wooden beams shuddering into the earth? But even in her apprehension and sorrow, she looks upon her husband, Joseph, lifting high his adopted son, the grin on his face saying it all in this moment. Joseph shouting out to all those present, "And he shall be named in Israel Yeshua, Jesus ben Yosef, Jesus son of Joseph." And there are grins all around, the menfolk clapping each other on the back. Joseph's father sitting still on the circumcision chair, winking and blinking, cackling and whispering, all to Joseph's brother. Ah, the boy receives his name on circumcision day, just like father Abraham. He receives his name on eighth day, the reborn babe, fresh named, fresh from the womb of life. On this, the eighth day, circumcision day. Circumcision. What do we do with circumcision? Most of us maybe could talk about this in terms of, you know, maybe hygiene or medical concerns or something of the like. But circumcision as a religious ritual, very foreign to us in 21st century North America. I mean, seems a little barbaric, right? A God commanding his people to take a knife and cut off a bit of the male genitalia 8 days into the babe's life. Seems pretty, just off. And on top of it, we're probably a little squeamish even to begin with, because this isn't really something you talk about in polite company. I mean, circumcision, right? And now we're celebrating an actual feast of circumcision here in the church. And yeah, that's not something you talk about with men and women in the room. And I mean, after all, it has something to do with the male genitalia, right? I mean, maybe worst case scenario, we're feeling a little bit like those band of protesters I once drove past in Fort Worth, Texas, standing on the street corner with their homemade signs. End genital mutilation. Give boys a choice. Get rid of male circumcision. And their rather vividly drawn pictures only drove home the point. Circumcision. What do we do with this bloody ancient ritual? It doesn't make much sense to us. I mean, what does it even have to do with us? This Jesus circumcision day. Well, actually everything. Everything. You see, circumcision in the Old Testament is a sign, a physical sign of a spiritual reality. It's one of the primal sacraments. One of the first sacraments that this dying old world ever saw, as Father Abraham received it from the hand of God. The symbolism is clear enough, if you think about it carefully, clear enough to the ancients. The male phallus standing erect, the head there, and then the blossoming crimson at its throat. Death, the slitting of the throat, the killing, ritual killing of the child and of his future progeny, the killing of his life-giving member, ritually dead, and soon to be physically dead if he does not continually put to death the desires of his own heart to love God instead, to circumcise his stiff-necked heart. A symbol of, but also a symbol of something else. For circumcision must take place on the eighth day. 7 days the child will live and be alive. in the process of being not just an ordinary child, but being a recreated child, a week full of recreation of the heavens and the earth and all that therein is in the child's body being remade, so that on the eighth day, the first day of that new week, the Sunday of that child's life, the resurrection day of that child's life, the baby boy might be a new creation in God. Death and resurrection on the eighth day. Circumcision then is a sign of death and resurrection, a sign of two cross pieces hammered together, shuddering into the earth on Golgotha. Circumcision, a sign of one offering one's life fully, a living sacrifice to the Father. But circumcision, not only a sign of death, but also a sign of life, a sign of an empty tomb on the eighth day, of one walking out in new creation as blazing angels dance around and Roman soldiers fall down as though dead. Death and resurrection, crucifixion and Easter. For this is what circumcision is all about. And so if it's all about that, it's all about us. And the Apostle Paul recognizes this reality. In his epistle to the Colossians, Paul writes, "In Christ you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive, resurrected altogether with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having despoiled the principalities and the powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So you see the flash of the Mohel's knife, the circumciser's knife over baby Jesus, is actually also the flash of the knife over each one of us. Our death and our resurrection, as we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptized. Paul makes that link. The circumcision of Christ is his baptism, and his baptism is his circumcision, for they both mean the same thing. And resurrection. Death, drowning, slitting the throat, and coming out of the water, coming out of the grave. Eighth day, resurrection life. And we too then participate in Jesus' circumcision, that daily circumcision, that baptismal ritual, that death to self and life to God in Jesus Christ. Death to self, the Holy Spirit lifting high that flashing blade and cutting off the foreskin of our hearts. And we, as the Apostle Paul puts it, we considering ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ, resurrection. And so each day, not only dying to ourselves, but stepping out of the tomb of all our sins in Jesus Christ, stepping out of the tomb, new creations in Christ Jesus for good works, for peace and love and joy and hope and righteousness and faithfulness and goodness. We stepping out of the tomb, alive from the dead on the eighth day, once again remembering our new name given on this eighth day, as Joseph holds us high in Jesus, he shall be called in Israel Yeshua, Jesus, son of Joseph. For we, our primary name is the Jesus people, the Christians, those who are found in Christ. And so this morning, let me encourage you, on this day celebrating a strange, old, barbaric-seeming custom, embrace your circumcision, embrace your baptism, your death, and your resurrection. For if we have died with him, says Paul, we will also be raised with him. And so this ancient ritual that seems so odd and so out of place to us, the circumcision of Jesus is actually all about us and is our good news, is our gospel, as God kills our sin and resurrects us to new life, preparing us for the final eighth day when all things shall be made new. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.